turn to number 524. 524 in our hymn books.
All right, let's take our books again and turn to number 681. I will meet you in the morning just inside the eastern gate.
Service here at 7 p.m. that Wednesday night.
We'll have a good time of sharing testimonies about what God has done for you this year, or a special Bible verse. Take some time to do that. And should you have a favorite song that kind of goes along with what you're talking about, that would be great. Just let us know. We'll sing those. And then following the service, we'll have desserts and snacks downstairs. So we'll have a good time. Trust you'll come. And we'll have a good time. Those are the main announcements. Yes, Jason, go ahead.
I'll just give you an update on my wife. She's in Hahnemann in Philly, and she went in on Tuesday, and she's doing a lot better. In fact, within 2 days, she was already feeling quite a bit better. And so they're going to keep her this week. Somewhere towards the end of the week, she'll probably be able to go home. So she'll go home on some antibiotics still. But she did get a much better bounce back this time. Unfortunately, it seems like she's going to have to go to Philly in order to get the right treatment. Leah Valley treats her, but it just isn't right. And she never gets the bounce back that she needs up here. So keep her in prayer. Now she wants to come home. So that's, we'll pray for her along those lines also. And thank God she's getting better.
What about the sugar issue? Is that...
They've had no other issues with it. So yeah, I mentioned on Wednesday night to a couple of people that they were thinking maybe she was diabetic, and that doesn't seem to be a problem. The doctor came in the next day and said, no, they're not supposed to be checking that while you're sick, because your levels are all out of whack anyway. So they stopped doing that. So and the problem she was having a lot of fevers and sweating, and really couldn't understand why, and something's going away now that she's getting better. So thank God for that.
Very good. All right. Just before we go on to our next song, we'll go on to read Psalm 100. We've been going over that as our memory verses for the last several weeks. So Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Give me just a moment to turn there in case you need it. Okay, let's say it together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. All right, very good. Let's take our hymn books again and turn to number 720. 720.
Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. I'm tempted oft to murmur and of my lot complain. Oh, but when I think and all he's done for me, then I cry, oh Rock of Ages, hide thou me. Life's dark veil, I wander so far, so far from thee. Then I cry, oh Rock of Ages. Life's dark veil, I wander so far, so far from thee. Then I cry, oh Rock of Ages.
Well, thank you everyone for coming today to the services. It's an honor to be here today and to stand in this pulpit. Please take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'll begin reading verse 19. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 and following. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also might be of good comfort when I know of your state. For I am no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust the Lord that I also may myself shall come shortly. Father, we want to thank thee for thy word that we could have in our hands, a faithful, reliable translation that we could read and learn from. Allow our spirits to be quieted this afternoon, this morning. Allow us to see thy face, the face of thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that thou would convict us of our need of change. If there are any here today who are lost, Father, we would ask that we convict them of their need of salvation. Work in our hearts, Father. Edify us and bless us with thy word. May we see the Lord Jesus Christ today in thy scriptures, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm gradually working through the book of Philippians. Now, I started this, I don't get to preach very often, but when I do get to preach, I just started about 3.5 years ago. I started with Philippians. I've done other books too, but Philippians, I'm here in chapter 2. So if you're wondering why I'm starting in the middle of the book, that's because there's other sermons that have preceded this that I have already preached. I don't want to just keep on preaching the same sermon over and over again from chapter 1, verse 1. So I'm progressing through the book of Philippians. And so we're right here. I'm right here in the middle of chapter 2. And I've titled my message today, Seeking the Things of Christ. Seeking the Things of Christ. It is very important for us to be seeking the things that are of Christ. We should not be seeking things that are not Christ's, but we should be seeking those things which are Christ's. And we'll see later on in this passage, in a verse, that there were people that were not seeking the things of Christ. We should not be like those people. We should be like the people that seek the things of Christ. We should seek the things that are Christ. We should not seek the things that are our own things. Now, Philippians is one of the prison epistles during the first imprisonment of the Apostle Paul. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were all written during the first Roman imprisonment of the Apostle Paul. And we see Timothy being introduced into the ministry of Paul. If you recall that Macedonian vision that Paul had, he saw the vision from the man of Macedonia that says, come on over and help us in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, we see this introduction about the Macedonian vision. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And Paul was obedient to the Lord. The Lord directed him into Macedonia, into the European regions of the world. And there, we read later on in chapter 16, of Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi. This is the book of Philippians. We read the passage from chapter 2 in Philippians. They were within this place, we see from this trip to Macedonia, a very important church was started, was established, the church at Philippi. And so Paul is saying in this verse 19, and with these seven words, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus," with just those seven words, we could spend a lot of time. We probably will spend a lot of time. But we could spend more time than we'll spend on those words. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus." Paul is continually trusting in the Lord Jesus. We see the idea of the word trust has the idea behind it, a hope, a confident expectation. He is very confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sense of hope. Later on in the passage, we'll see the same word being used, but it's been as appears as hope in verse 23. I hope. The word "I hope" in verse 23 and the word "I trust" in verse 19, behind both those words is the same Greek word, the idea of a confident expectation of something. And Paul says, "I trust the Lord Jesus Christ." He's trusting in Christ. When we do things, are we hoping that the Lord's going to bless us? Sometimes when we go places, we say, "If the Lord will." This is what Paul's trying to communicate to the church of Philippi. He's saying, "If the Lord will." He's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not necessarily salvation trust, but trust for daily trust. We have trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, but we also trust Him each day for our meeting our daily needs, going by doing things each day as we have to do. As a note of curiosity. Trust in the Lord. If you just look up those English words, trust in the Lord, the frequency, the number of times it appears in our English Bible is 134 times. Now, sadly, in some modern Bible versions that are based upon the Gnostic text, such as the NIV, it's only the words "trust in the Lord" are used just 96 times. In the New American Version, it's 83 times. In the New King James, 125. But again, in our English Bible, the King James Bible, it's 134 times. I'm not sure what else they used instead of "trust in the Lord," but they substituted something out or they removed something. I'm not positive. You could spend a lifetime studying these things, and people have done that. But it's an important thing to know. You have the proper words of God in your hand. In Proverbs chapter 3, there's some words on trusting the Lord. Very familiar verse right there, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But if you look back in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone." So we're reminded here from the book of Proverbs that we are to trust in the Lord. It's like Paul. He says in verse 1, first part of verse 19, "I trust in the Lord Jesus." He says, "I trust." We should not stop trusting the Lord. He's the Lord that saved us, and He's the Lord that is sanctifying us, that is causing us to become more and more conformed to the image of himself. That is sanctification. God is sovereign. He must be trusted all the time, not just part of the time. In the book that precedes, follows Philippians, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 and following, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He's before all things, as we saw this morning in the Gospel of John. He must have preeminence over everything in our lives, every aspect of our lives. So we'd be able to say with Paul, I trust in the Lord Jesus. But I trust in the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul, as we know, he was that apostle that was born out of due time in 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 8 talks about that. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for a moment. And he's, in other words, he's the one that was out of order in the selection of being an apostle. He was an apostle that was born out of due time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and following, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Amen. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Everything is based here according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present day, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Savior? He died on Calvary's cross for you. He died on Calvary's cross for this entire world. And it's everyone's opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He will save anyone who puts their trust and faith in him. As I said earlier, the same grace that has saved us is the same grace that will sanctify us. That progression where we become more and more like Jesus Christ. Now there are times when we slip a little bit, but we should never give up in becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. When we sin, we must confess our sins. And God, he's faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful. He will forgive us of our sin. When we do something contrary to the Scripture, when we transgress his commands, there's a remedy. It's for asked forgiveness. And the forgiveness is based upon the redemptive work of Christ on Calvary. First, we must become saved. And once we are saved, we must strive to become sanctified, becoming sanctified more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the goal. And Paul says, I trust in the Lord Jesus. And he wants to send Timothy. He wants to send Timothy one time to this church in Philippi. Timothy's name means honoring God. Timotheus. Honoring God. If you may see the word theos in his name, in the ending, last part of his name, that's God. And Timothy is the beginning part of it. The first part of it there is honor. So Timotheus' name means honoring God. Now, If you're interested, modern Bibles based upon the Gnostic text don't use the word Timotheus, because it's too hard for people to understand. It appears 17 times in our English Bible, but in the modern Bibles, at least the three of them I checked, the NIV, NASV, and the NKJV, they don't have the word Timotheus. Now, I didn't look to see what they did have, but they must have, they may have Timothy, maybe, but they don't have Timotheus. Timotheus is a fine word to use. It's a transliteration of what's represented there in the Greek language. Timotheus, in other words, a transliteration, you take a letter for letter of the Greek letters, the Greek, so you have a theta over here, and then you make that a T. And then at the very end of the line, you have a sigma, which is the same as our S. And they have the letters in between, of course. And so it's a transliteration. But his name means honor God. As I said, he's mentioned 17 times in the scripture. First time we see him mentioned is in Acts chapter 16. Acts 16 and verse 1. Acts 16 in verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek. And so this is when we're first introduced to Timotheus in the scripture in Acts chapter 16. We know later on in Acts chapter 16, we already referenced earlier about the Macedonian vision, about the imprisonment of Paul and Silas wrongly in the jail of Philippi, the salvation of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, verse 31. You know, the jailer says, the scriptures, then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." But by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where Timotheus is first mentioned, in Acts chapter 16. He's also mentioned in Acts chapter 17 and verse 14 and following. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens and received the commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for it is to come to him with all speed. They departed. And then in Acts chapter 18 in verse 5, Timotheus is mentioned another time. Again, his name means honoring God. And this Timotheus is very important to the Apostle Paul, because he's trusting the Lord that he's going to allow Timotheus to be sent to him. Acts chapter 18 and verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, remember we talked about Macedonia several times already? When they were come from Macedonia, and this letter is written to the church of Philippi, which is near Macedonia, or in Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. He certainly is the Christ. And there's no other way to salvation without him. And the Jewish people and all people today have to realize that Jesus Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is Christ. He is the anointed one. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 4, Acts chapter 20, in verse 4, and there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Assertus, and Scutus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These are all the people that were there. But Timotheus is mentioned there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. In Romans chapter 16, the last chapter in the book of Romans, comes after Acts. Acts, Romans chapter 16, last chapter, in verse 10, Romans 16 and verse 10, salute the apostles approved in Christ, salute them which are of Arsabas' household. No. I'm sorry, it's not Romans, it's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16:10, that's why he wasn't there. 1 Corinthians 16:10. 1 Corinthians 16 in verse 10. This is a better verse that has Timotheus in it. The other verse was a good verse, but I'm looking for Timotheus. 1 Corinthians 16:10. Now if Timotheus came, now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I do. So this is, again, some characteristics of Timotheus. In 2 Corinthians, this is, we're looking at who Timotheus is here, because Paul is looking to send Timotheus to the church of Philippi. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even me, by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Timotheus is again mentioned in Philippians chapter 1, the same book we're in, but in the earlier chapter, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And in chapter 2, verse 19, that's the one he's in right now, so we just looked at that. We'll look at it later on in more detail in a moment. In Colossians chapter 1, the next book over, Colossians chapter 1, in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, and also in verse 6, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So here again, he's going to be comfort to the church of Thessalonica. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So, we looked at all those verses where Timotheus is mentioned. His name means honoring God. The last end of it, we've probably heard the word theos before several times. Well, the end of his name is theos, and like we said before, the beginning part of his name means honoring. And Paul's prayer is, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send, just one time, to send Timotheus shortly unto you. Paul wants to have Timotheus be sent to come to the church at Philippi, because Timotheus is a reliable and trustworthy person. He is one that lives up to his name. He is one that honors God. And so the Apostle Paul is trusting in the Lord. He's got this confident expectation, this hope in the Lord, that Timotheus will be able to come or go to the church in Philippi. And Paul understands the fact that by the fact of Timotheus going to the church at Philippi, that the church at Philippi is going to be encouraged, is going to be edified, is going to be comforted. And the news of their encouragement, the news of their edification, that's going to get back to the Apostle Paul. Because the scripture says that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So Timotheus is going to go there to Philippi, Lord willing. Paul's trusting in the Lord Jesus that Timotheus is going to be able to go to Philippi. And Philippi is going to be a good comfort to those people that are there in the city of Philippi. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19, we see that quite often we have people going one spot to another spot. But the idea of God's will, we have to understand when we do things, it must be based according to God's will. We say, Lord willing, I'm going to do this in a few days, a few weeks, a few months. That's what Paul was saying, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly. The idea of trusting in the Lord, not based upon our own desires, our own wishes, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19, 1 Corinthians 4:19, the scripture says, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. The idea of looking at this verse, I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. To parallel with the thought he has here in verse 19 to the church of Philippi, but I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus to you shortly. And James, we're familiar with this passage in James as far as the Lord's will. James comes after the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, James. In James chapter 4, in verse 19. That's not 19, verse 13. James 4, beginning with verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we shall go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that vanisheth for a little time, and then that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you see, it's based upon if the Lord will. I mean, this morning, it was cold enough to see your, I sense what we think of as our breath. When we breathe out, we see this smoke, this vapor that comes out of our mouth. But it just stays for a little bit of time. You know, but we have to say, our life is very short, past the point of James. But the overall point is, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. And so bringing this biblical principle back to verse 19 of chapter 2 of the book of Philippians, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus to you shortly, that I may be of good comfort and know of your estate. The Apostle Paul knew that Timotheus was a very trustworthy and valid person to send, someone that could be trusted tremendously. And the idea of comfort, you know, it's something that's going to be when he gets there. When he gets to Philippi, he is going to be able to be comfort to those people that are there. And then in turn, the news will get back to the Apostle Paul that he in turn is going to be of a comfort. That I also may be of good comfort when I know, experiential knowledge, when I know of your state. So Paul is eager to send Timotheus. He probably wants to hold on to him a little bit, but really he knows the church of Philippi needs him. And so Timotheus is going to be sent based upon the hope that Paul has. He's trusting the Lord to send Timotheus there to shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. Isn't it nice to get a missionary letter from a missionary you've been praying for or supporting, and they tell you of the wonderful things that are happening in the field? That's what the Apostle Paul wants to hear. He wants to have a good report that comes back to him. He wants to have a good report. He wants to be comforted by that fact. I have, presently, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Presently, this is one of the few people that he has, that he could trust, that he could send to the church of Philippi, who he knows that's going to care for their well-being, like-minded, having the same mind. It's very important for him to want to send someone with the same mind, that thinks the same way, that believes the same things. Now, I know this is the first century church, but still, Paul wanted to be sure that the church of Philippi was going to have Timotheus that would come, and he described Timotheus as one that has the same, that was like-minded, kind of a unison, that they're united in soul. That's the principle there. United in soul. I believe this, there were two words in here that only occurred once in this passage. I think like-minded was one of them. Hapax legomena, fancy word meaning only occurring one time in the scripture. As far as the Greek word behind it, this English word occurs several times, but the Greek word behind the English word only appears one time, I believe. It has the idea of having a united soul. And so we have here, for I have no man, referring to Timotheus, like-minded, who will naturally, it comes natural for him to care for your state. He's not going to be looking after anyone else. He's going to be looking after them and their concerns. Paul is trying to communicate that fact to the church there at Philippi. And then here we have the basis of the title of the sermon, Seeking the Things of Christ. But in verse 21, rather, the scripture says, For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ's. This is in the contrast to compare how Timotheus is. Timotheus has this united soul with them. And Paul's thinking of others, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. They're seeking the wrong things. They're not seeking things that are of Christ. And today, in this century, in the 21st century church, 20 centuries later, we must be trying to have the same soul as what is recorded in Scripture. We should be trying to have the things, we should be seeking the things that are of Christ. And how do we know what things are of Christ? We know what things are of Christ based upon what the words of God tell us, what the Bible, what's recorded in the Scripture. This is how we know how we could seek the things that are Christ. If there's something that's happened in our life that is contrary to Scripture, those things need to be put aside and abandoned. And we must be seeking the things of Christ. Paul, his desire was to say to the church of Philippi, you know, he's trusting the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he wants Timotheus to come. He wants Timotheus to come to encourage them in the things of the Lord, to edify them, to build them up, spiritually. Because Paul in turn wants to be comforted himself when he gets back and hears a good report. When he gets that missionary report about what's going on in Philippi, he's there in prison, in the prisons of Rome. And Paul wanted to be comforted. And he knew that Timotheus was a good person to send to the church at Philippi. And he did realize that there were other people that were seeking their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Verse 22, he continues his thought to the church of Philippi. But you know the proof of him, referring back to Timotheus, you know the proof of him that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And we read those 17 verses earlier. We saw how Timotheus what influence he had in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Scripture says here in this verse, as a son with the Father, he served me in the gospel. He was continually serving in the gospel. And so he came highly recommended by the Apostle Paul, Timotheus did. Him, therefore, I hope. Now again, as I said earlier, the word hope here in verse 23, the Greek word behind this English word hope, elpis, is the same Greek word behind the word trust, the English word trust, in verse 19. And it carries the idea of a confident expectation. Both are valid and worthy, acceptable translations. But the point is, again, he's emphasizing, I hope, I have this confident expectation to send presently. Not later on, but presently. So soon as I shall see how he will go with me. So there apparently were some things, some minor things that were happening in the life of the Apostle Paul, other than the fact that he was in prison, that perhaps we're going to slightly delay this. But yet, ultimately, he wants Timotheus to go to Philippi so that, number one, the Philippian church can be edified and encouraged in the things of the Lord by Timotheus. And secondly, so that Paul will receive a blessing and a spiritual encouragement when he hears of the progress of the welfare of what is happening in the church at Philippi. So again, he's writing this letter to the church of Philippi. The Philippians are reading this letter, and there they can almost anticipate the fact of Timothy's coming. Timotheus is coming. He's going to come. He's going to be there, and he's going to be an encouragement to the whole flock there at the Philippian church. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Now, in verse 24, we have a slightly different word for trust that's being reflected here. Paul himself, he's telling them at the very beginning that he wants to, I'm trusting the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus. But at the end of this section here, in verse 24, he's letting them know that he does himself want to one day come and visit them shortly. And he's trusting the Lord for this. It's a different type of trust that the idea of trusting in Christ and trusting in him that he's going to send him to see. This is talking about himself to the Lord. The Greek language has several different tenses, as I'm sure you know. But it's a perfect tense, this word trust. And so it's a continual trust, an action that is begun in the past and continues on into the future. It's continuing on. It begins at one point in the past, and yet it carries on into the future. It's not a punctiliar trust for the moment, but it's a continual trust. So he's continually trusting the Lord that that I myself shall come shortly. He wants to come. You know, it's being thoroughly convinced type of trust. He was thoroughly convinced that he was going to be able to come, as you know, as opposed to a confident expectation, which there's a kind of maybe similar words, but yet slightly different. He wants to come and visit them. The object of the apostles Paul's trust was and is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the question we have to ask ourselves today is, you know, what are we seeking? What are we seeking? What are you seeking? What am I seeking? And in whom are we trusting? You know, the answer to this question must be the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can't answer both those questions as the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to pause for a moment, prayerfully pause, and evaluate and examine ourselves and determine why aren't we seeking Him, and why aren't we trusting Him continually on a daily basis? Our fellowship is, if it's broken, if our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is broken, it can be restored. As we saw there in, as we referenced earlier in 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He will forgive us. He wants us to become more and more like Him each day. And the church at Philippi received this letter from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul probably was a person that was writing to them. He was the apostle. Writing to the church of Philippi. He's someone that had a very, very special person. Paul was very special to the church of Philippi. And he was communicating the fact that, please don't be discouraged. You know, Timothy, Lord willing, is going to come. There's other people that are seeking their own, as he says in the verse here in the passage, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ. And the implication is, Timotheus is not that way. Timotheus is seeking the things of Christ, not the things of himself. And he reminds them, again, to summarize, he reminds them of the character of Timotheus, of his character, of who he was, how he worked with him in ministry. And then he finally writes at the end of the verse 24 here that he himself wants to come. But the idea of seeking the things that are Christ, the question is still ask, what are you seeking and in whom are you trusting? Father, thank you for thy word. We ask that thou would give us the growth that we need each day to become more and more like thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be continually trusting in him to give us sanctifying growth. And may we be seeking him each day and not be seeking the things for ourselves that we want to please ourselves, but may we please thee in all that we say, all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Lord Jesus Christ, today is a perfect time to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If somebody's out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, today is a perfect day to restore that fellowship.
Our hymn books and turn to number 541.
Oh.
need to speak to one of us about salvation or any other spiritual issue you might have, please do so. We would love to help you, and trust that the messages today were a blessing to you. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you gave him to us. We don't deserve the riches of your grace, but in your mercy, you sent the Lord Jesus to pay the price for our sins and shed his blood upon the cross. Thank you also that he did not stay dead, but arose from the dead to vindicate himself and to show that he is truly your son. We pray that as we go out from this place, may we do everything we can to reach others with the gospel of Christ and tell them of the great hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.